Amen. Thanks, Sammy. So, if we can have the image up, Cynthia, that'd be great. We're continuing our series today on Come Dine With Me, Meals With Jesus. Last week, we looked at everyone's favourite miracle, which is water into wine. Yeah, of course, it is everyone's favourite miracle. And today, we're going to look at feeding the multitude, feeding the 5,000. So, to kick us off, if you want to tell the person next to you your favourite meal this week. If you go, your favourite meal this week.
Good.
Just out of interest, did anyone pick fish finger sandwiches at any point? Is there any fish? That's where we're going to. I've entitled today's talk "Fish Finger Sandwiches to Feed the Masses" or something like that. Not poetic enough. One more person next to you. Time this week you've been hungry. Can we do that? The reason why I ask. We got some times? The hungry one. Yesterday, I was with Charity, and it reached a point. It was about 2:30, and we hadn't had lunch. And my wife is a very patient individual. She married me, she has to be. She's very kind and loving. But I saw her face change at 2:30. And she went from being quite smiley and happy and relaxed, and all of a sudden, it was like, get me a pizza now. And we were on the other side of this market, and I could see her face. She's got the pram, and I was worried for the people in front of her because I thought they are going to get hurt if they stand between her and Frank Manco, which is our favourite pizza place that she knew was halfway down. And my first question is this morning, as we look at this story, and we're going to look at it in three levels, like three different perspectives of the story. And the first one is, if you're in the crowd on that day with 5,000 people, are you hungry? Are you hungry? Is there something in you that wants to be filled and wants to be satisfied? Because we change when we get hungry, don't we? We start getting desperate. Etiquette and politeness go out of the window. Smashing past people, get out of my way. It's 2:30 and I haven't had lunch. And you can imagine this crowd getting more and more restless. You can relate to it. You've just told stories this week about when you've been... The crowd are getting more and more restless because they're getting hungry. They want something. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves is, if we're in that crowd waiting, then where do we get fed from? Where do we get fed from? Because they're all hungry, all 5,000 of the fellas plus their family, all of them getting angsty, getting hungry. And the question I want to ask you this morning is, where are you going to get fed from when you get hungry? We can have the next one, Cynthia, thanks. We don't have to be hungry for food. Be hungry for anything, can't you? Hungry for companionship, could be hungry for purpose, you can be hungry for excitement, you can be hungry for love. Something in you that demonstrates a lack. And my question again to you is, when you get that need, where do you turn to see it filled? I had a good time this week. I went to visit Annie on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday, Annie? Yeah, it was good. As I left, I felt full. You know, when you just feel satisfied, you felt full. All we'd done is we'd sat down and we'd opened the scriptures up and we'd looked at a couple of Bible passages together and we chatted about them and then we prayed. And I left and I felt full because part of that interaction had allowed me to connect with Jesus in a powerful way. And as a result of connecting with Jesus, I no longer felt empty. I felt full. I felt satisfied. So where do you go to when you're feeling hungry? Where do you go to when you have need? Will you go to Jesus and will you let him fill you? The thing is, though, going to Jesus is not always the easiest thing. Some people, when they have this need, they have this desire, when they're not full, some people, they go to shopping, don't they? Spend money they don't have on things they don't need. You know, Amazon Prime is a dangerous thing, or whatever it is. Some people go shopping. Some people go to social media and just scroll through it, hoping that it will fill them. Somehow. Some people go to the fridge and binge eat. Some people go to the pub and binge drink. Some people gossip. Some people turn violent. When we get hungry, then we lash out. I saw it yesterday. Clapham Market. Sometimes when we get hungry, we start lashing. Why? Because we just want to feel full. And sometimes going to Jesus feels like the hardest thing to do, doesn't it? It feels like such a faff to stop and turn on some worship music. Sometimes it feels hard to sit down and just read your Bible for a bit. Sometimes it feels hard just to read a book that edifies you. Sometimes it's much easier to scroll through social media. But my question is it going to fill you? Is it going to fill you? When you're full, where do you turn to? I once made a terrible mistake at weddings. Weddings scare me when I'm a guest. Because, you know the deal with weddings, they start at 1 o'clock. Any event that starts at 1 o'clock is a dangerous event. All kinds of questions need to be asked. Do I eat before the 1 o'clock wedding? Do I wait for the 1 o'clock wedding, assuming it's going to be an hour long and I can probably last until two? However, how long does it take me to get from wedding to the next station of food? And when you get invited to the wedding, they never make it clear whether there will be cake after the service. Anyone else have this thought process? This is what, yes, Tony agrees with me. This is why weddings scare me, because there's a whole host of questions that need to be asked around when am I going to eat at this lunchtime menu? So, Charity and I get invited to a wedding and we make a terrible, terrible mistake because the wedding was at 1 and there wasn't any cake. And so Charity and I are starting to panic, specifically me. Charity's panicking about what I'm going to be like and as I get some food. It's 2:30, we haven't had lunch, and we make the terrible mistake of, on the way from the wedding to the reception, we went to McDonald's. I know, guys. And we did it for good reason. We went to McDonald's because it was easy. It was just there, and you saw it with its golden arches. We went because we were hungry. But it didn't fill us up. It never does. We get to the reception, and there's canapés of beautiful food, and I'm there, I'm like, I just ate a Big Mac. Why? Why did I eat that rubbish? And you're bringing me this delicious food. I made a mistake. But we did it because it's easy. Sometimes we just fill ourselves on rubbish that doesn't fill us. We think it's going to, but because we're hungry, we lash out and we think, oh, this will fill us. This will fill it. One more dress. One more, like, gossip fest. One more. That's going to fill us. And Jesus says, sit down and let me feed you. Sit down and let me feed you. Next one. Thanks, Cynthia. That's if you're in the crowd. My question to you is, are you hungry? And where are you going to be filled if you're hungry? It might not be the easiest thing to sit down with Jesus, but let me assure you, it's going to fill you up much more than anything else is going to. That's if you're in the crowd. But what if you're the disciple? There's a good bit, like, of all the stories, you might not know this, but of all the bits that are in the Gospels, this is the only one that's in all of the Gospels, apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus, this is the only one that makes it to all four. So it must have been important for them. And when Matthew tells the story, he includes this bit. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." If you're the disciple, every bit of you wants to delegate that job, don't you? If you're one of the 12, you're like, there are 5,000 people here who are all getting hungry. I really don't want this to be my job. Jesus, sort it out. Send them away. Someone else take charge. And Jesus says, no. You feed them. Jesus looks at the disciples and says, actually, what you have got in your hand is enough. What you've got in your hand is enough to feed these 5,000 people. Even when it doesn't look like it, even though what they've got in their hand is 5 small loaves and 2 little fishes, Jesus says to him, no, don't hoard that for yourself. That you have got in your hand is enough for these people. What you've got in your hand is enough for these people. You do not need 6 months' wages. You do not need your bank account to be fuller before you can start being generous. You don't need me to do it for you. What you've got in your hand is enough. Be generous with it. Sit the people down and start sharing it. And you will find that it is enough. I hope I'm not speaking out of place, but 15 years ago, if you'd have asked me to write a list of the people I knew who would make the best missionaries in Africa, I'm sorry, Alan and Beryl, but you didn't make that list. You didn't really make the top 10. Not sure you made the top 10 list. No, that's the main. But if you'd ask me, like, if you would pick the people who are going to move to Uganda and set up a charity that educates villages, I wouldn't have picked these guys. But God looks at us, and Alan says, neither would he. That's good. I'm not speaking out of faith. But actually, when it turns out what you've got in your hand is enough to meet the people, the needs of the people around us. See, I would have met Alan and Beryl, and I would have put, wouldn't have put them at the top of their list, but God knew what they knew what they had in their hand. Alan just shared that he used to work in computers. And so why does God take them out to Uganda where there aren't any computers? Well, the answer is because there aren't any computers. And if Africa misses out on the information revolution in the same way it missed out on the industrial one, then the generations of poverty will continue. For that time, 15 years ago, Uganda needed a good internet cafe, which is what they started, because God saw what was in their hand, and it was enough to feed the people. Beryl's a trained counsellor, and actually a nation of people, which for a while was the youngest nation in the world because a generation of people had died of AIDS. There's a lot of people there that need counselling. What you've got in your hand is enough to feed the people around you. Seeing some picking on people, you've heard Charity sing, you know that she's talented. She could have made a lot of money off her voice. She had plenty of opportunities to do it, but she didn't. She went and worked in a prison, and she told people they were worth something. Because what you've got in your hand is actually enough for the people around you. My question is simply, what have you got in your hand, and are you going to be generous with it? Are you going to be generous with it? If I was that kid with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, I'm not sure I would have been. I'd been like, you guys were idiots in not bringing a packed lunch. Always be prepared. Da-da. Snaffle, snaffle. Sit in the corner. If I was at that wedding feast in Cana, I might have been like, oh, you idiots didn't buy enough wine. Look at me with my little hip fart lask. I'm going to have my own party in the corner. How often do we take what we've got in our hand and like, I'm not going to share it with the people around us? And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat because what you have in your hand is actually enough to feed this community. The question is, are you going to be bold enough? Are you going to be brave enough to share it? In the famous words of Colossians, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What have you got in your hand? Maybe you're good at sword fighting like Ken is. Tell you what, that was one of the most popular things on the fun day, wasn't it? Maybe you're good at baking. What can you bring to Jess's baptism? Maybe you're good at listening. Who can you invite round for a coffee? Maybe you're good at making tea. So who can you make tea for this week? We've all got something in our hand. Are you going to live like this? Or are you going to live like this? Jesus says what you've got in your hand is enough to meet the needs of the people around you. And there's plenty to spare. There's plenty to spare. If you're in the crowd, you're hungry, my question to you is, where are you getting fed? If you're hungry, you're lashing out, but where are you getting fed? Let Jesus feed you. Sit down. I promise you it will fill you up. If you're the disciples, stop trying to delegate responsibility to someone else. Jesus says you feed them, because what you've got in your hand is enough. It's not someone else's job. It's yours. Because what you've got in your hand is enough for the people. And finally, this story is a taste of heaven. If we look at, there's a reason, I think, that all of the gospel writers include this story in their books. On the one level, it's a good story about Jesus feeding people who are hungry. On another level, it's a good story about people being generous with what they have to ensure that everyone gets fed. And on another level, if you look a bit deeper, this is a message about what heaven's like, isn't it? In John 2, the wedding at Cana, because of the wine that Jesus provides, the wedding is back on. In John 6, because of the bread that Jesus provides, there is a feast for everyone. In John 2, because of the wine that Jesus provides, the wedding is back on. And in John 6, because of the bread that Jesus provides, then the feast is back on. This is a symbol of what heaven's like. We're told in the scriptures that the wine represents the blood of Jesus. Because of the cross, because of what he did there, the wedding's back on. The wedding is a symbol in the scriptures of God being united with his church. Because of the wine Jesus provides, the wedding's back on. And then in John 6, because of the bread that Jesus provides, which the scripture tells us is a symbol for his body that we've been eating this morning, because of the bread, There's a feast for everyone. You're all welcome. There's plenty of food to go around. Just sit down. Let Jesus feed you. That's why we took communion today. Because of the bread and the wine that Jesus provides. If you're hungry, go to Jesus. He will fill you up. Whatever you've got in your hand, and we all have something, see what Jesus can do with it. It's enough for the village. And know that everyone is welcome at this feast, at this wedding. Because Jesus has provided the wine and Jesus has provided the bread. Let's pray. And then we're going to finish this service by singing together. Jesus, we want to be fed by you. We are sorry for the times that we've gone to McDonald's and filled ourselves up with rubbish that never fills us up when you are offering us a feast. I pray that this week that we would make conscious decisions to sit and wait and connect with you in whatever way that we find helpful. That we would deliberately go on walks, we would have those conversations, we would read those books, we would pray, we would find a way to engage with you because it makes us come alive. I pray we would be people who are fed on you. And Father, I pray we will be people who live with our hands open, that we would give to you what's in our hand and let you grow it. We are sorry for the times that we have given that responsibility over to others, when you look at us and say, no, you feed them. We want to be a generous people, giving what we have to further your kingdom. And we thank you that you provide the bread and you provide the wine, that we are all welcome into this kingdom, regardless of our past, because of what you did on the cross. May we know that this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.